Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. This segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Margaret Spolstra from Autism Ontario. So tell me a little bit about Autism Ontario.
So Autism Ontario was formed in 1973 by a group of parents who wanted something better for their children with autism. So now we are an organization that has 25 chapters around the province, and we support families in their efforts to raise both their young, teen, and adult children on the autism spectrum, and to find acceptance and opportunities for those children.
What sorts of services do you provide to this end?
We do a variety of things. Support to families is one of our number one areas of focus, but we also do lots of public awareness. So we try to help the general public, particularly in communities in Ontario, to understand the nature of autism, to know what they can do to help people with autism. And we also spend time talking with government leaders and leaders in the province about public policy, about things that would be helpful in terms of services, in areas of diagnosis, in areas of health supports, mental health supports, school years, education, and then on in transitioning into adult life. So we talk about all of those things, about the lifespan of people with autism, as well as ways to support their families who experience a significant amount of stress.
So are there any challenges in lobbying for equality and raising awareness?
Absolutely. I think particularly in the area of autism, because the nature of autism is so unique to each individual, it means that there isn't just one solution to the way autism is expressed. And in terms of both helping, understanding, and also in terms of finding the right way that we can respond as a society to build the supports in that are necessary so that people can actually be citizens and participate. So it's that wide variety of expression. And the other thing in autism around some of those challenges is that the nature of autism changes over the lifespan. So it's not something that looks a certain way at one point and you can expect that for the remainder of that person's life. It really does have significant changes. And although we have ideas about what that might look like for people, we're always surprised by the subtle and significant differences that surprise us in terms of what someone is actually capable of doing. And I think that just means we need to be open to a wide variety of options and solutions and supports. And that's not so easy from a public policy perspective, but for families, they are looking for those opportunities for their kids. So it's not always easy to get everybody on the same page.
So there are a lot of myths and stereotypes surrounding autism. How do you go about breaking down some of those walls in public education?
I think one of the most important things is actually to get out there and to know. I mean, part of it is the public awareness campaigns that we do, that we invite people to participate in. And we also want to have the voices of families and the voices of people on the spectrum heard. So breaking down those barriers means actually meeting people who have autism and meeting people who are their caregivers and to understand their experiences and stories. So the more those people can speak to these stories, the better. And so I think that's part of what we need to do. We also need to speak with media. We need to be speaking with our public elected officials at every level, and to be making people aware that this is affecting about 100,000 people in Ontario, and that that's not a small number, and that the prevalence rates have been growing. So when you understand that you and I are going to know somebody with autism when 20 years ago barely anyone understood what the word meant, I think that tells us that we have a change in our population that is part of who people are and that we need to come to understand and support better.
So, in your time with Autism Ontario, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
I would say that the thing that always stands out to me, and especially now, is when people with autism are heard and understood. And I would say seeing people participating in the workplace and employers discovering that their employees who have autism can be some of their best employees, and discovering that what is perceived as a disability may in fact be an ability and an added benefit to what it means to be human. And that can mean you can be an excellent employee if you match people with their skills and a workplace environment where they want to be and can offer those skills. I think that's true for any people, but when it happens for people with autism, it is a huge eye-opening experience. And so I would say in the more recent times, those experiences, those stories are the ones that feel like a huge success. And that comes from working on a variety of projects with different partners and moving, elevating the conversation to include people and with autism and their abilities rather than their disabilities.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need to keep going forward, what would you say?
I'd say that everyone is a neighbor to someone with autism. And that means someone in your workplace either is a family member or a caregiver, is a person on the spectrum who maybe hasn't been diagnosed, or has a child who's struggling because the systems are still not as responsive as they could be. And so I'd say all of those people are neighbors, and people with autism are part of what it means to be human and part of our society, so that we need to make space and opportunities for everyone. And I think if we can get that right with autism, that means as a society we're going to be better with one another. And so I'd say get to know your neighbors and get to know someone with autism or someone whose story is connected to a person with autism, and you'll be amazed at what's possible.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Autism awareness is and always has been a process of learning, for the fact is, it's not something that you can just read a set of facts about in a textbook somewhere and know everything about. It can affect people in radically different ways. For example, one person might be regarded as what they call high-functioning, whereas another might have some difficulty integrating into something like a normal classroom. That does not make it impossible. It makes it up to us, as a society, to take the time to get to know what we can about this condition. Spend some time with a person affected. Get to know them. Get to know their story. For a person with autism, simply trying to communicate, trying to reach out, just like anyone in society. The spectrum does cover a wide range of symptoms, functionalities, but the fact is, there is no person with any disability anywhere who cannot be reached in some way. There is no one whose potential should be denied simply because we as a people assume we know everything about a condition, or worse still, we're afraid to talk about it. There are a lot of myths and a lot of illusions concerning autism. It's one of those conditions that's much harder to quantify. It's not like paralysis, for example, where you can see a person getting around a little bit differently. People just readily recognize that. Autism might be something you have to keep more of a close eye to really recognize. Does it mean this person is unworthy of our time and our attention? Of course not. It simply means we have to find our own way of reaching them. And I call upon the leaders in power, the educators, and just society. Keep an open mind. Keep an open heart. These are simply people. Our children, our neighbors, friends, family. It really does affect all facets of life. As with any disability, it has struck in every family to one degree or another. Simply a question of recognition. Fact is, disability is really a matter of bringing communities together, pooling our resources, our knowledge, our ideas to provide the best opportunities we can for anyone of any condition. If we can do that, we really are investing and building for our future. For it's not something that if we're uncomfortable with, that we just don't want to talk about is going to go away. But if we build the right support systems and we work together, learn from each other, we can create a base of understanding and a foundation of opportunity. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Are you a practicing artist and want to see your work hanging in a public space? Do you have an interesting idea or story you want to share? ArtSight Inc. wants to hear it. ArtSight is a nonprofit community organization dedicated to representing artists in our region. We are gearing up for our 2017 Summer Arts Festival, taking place July 28th to August 5th. We're reaching out to the artists that make our community thrive. For more information and submission guidelines, please visit artsite.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Margaret Spolstra from Autism Ontario. This segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Lana Fredo from Sound Times. So tell me a little bit about Sound Times.
So we're a community mental health and addictions organization that's funded by the Toronto Central Lynn, under the auspices of the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care. And we're located in downtown Toronto, and we are funded to provide several services to people with significant mental health and addictions issues. The thing that makes us a bit different than a lot of organizations is that we're wholly staffed by people with lived experience of mental health and addiction services.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
How so? Like to spread the word in order to advertise the service, to get clients, or to promote the idea that people with lived experience of mental health and addictions have that's an added skill set that can add to the skill set that a practitioner in those services that's a value added skill to as practitioners. Which do you mean? Because in order to get in order to have find clients or get clients or have people use the services, we have no shortage of people using the service. And our best ambassadors for the kind of service that we offer are actually the people who use the service. They are pretty remarkable, actually, in being sort of de facto outreach workers for this kind of service.
So I was wondering about the idea of the added value. How can a person with an addiction or a mental health issue speak better to a client coming in?
I don't know if it's... So the way I look at it is this, that there are many... So, you know, I'm speaking now as a manager, for example, and as someone who hires people, right? So I look at... So, you know, I don't want to fall into the sort of fantasy that having personal experience of mental health and addictions issues automatically makes you a good worker, right? Because that's a gross oversimplification of how things work. However, at the same time, I would say that having experience of having a mental health or addictions problem, it informs the way that you do your work. And so just like having the experience of growing up in a different culture or a different country informs the way you do your work, or just like speaking another language informs the way you do your work, or just like, you know, being a member of any other sort of marginalized or oppressed group informs the way that you do your work, I think that lived experience provides that function. I wouldn't say that lived experience is the be-all and end-all, because certainly I myself am not that great of a peer when it comes to doing support work. I'm just not that talented at it. But the way that I structure the organization, the way that I think about, you know, securing funding, designing programs, the way I think about accessibility, all of that is partly informed by my own experience of using services, right? So it's a piece of it, but it's not the be-all and end-all, and I think it's a very important piece. But I think to say that having lived experience ipso facto makes you a good support to other people who are experiencing struggles, I wouldn't say that that's true. Certainly not in my case, anyways, but and also in the way I've seen that play out.
So
does that make sense?
Yes. So are there any challenges in the services you provide?
Challenges? The challenges would be... I think the biggest challenge... And those challenges change. I've been doing this for a long time, so those things change over time. So I think one of the challenges now is that it seems like everybody's talking about mental health, right? And it's all okay to talk about mental health. And so there's a danger in that, because it's like, okay, you know, we're tackling the stigma. We're conquering the discrimination. And I think that's kind of a dangerous place to be, because what I'm observing is that it's okay to talk about some kind of mental health and addiction issues, right? But it's still not okay to push for conversations about other kinds of mental health and addiction issues. And those kinds of mental health and addictions issues in certain locations. So, for example, what did I see yesterday or the other day in my news feed or something was, you know, here's a woman who wrote this email to her boss that she was taking 2 days off because of anxiety and depression, and she was taking 2 days off for her mental health, and her boss wrote such a stellar response that, you know, oh, yes, and we should all be doing this, and thank you for combating the stigma and all of that. And I can't help but sit there and wonder, if the response would be the same, and if that response would go viral, if that woman had written, I'm taking 2 days off because I'm having auditory hallucinations. So, like, I wonder, you know, because it's okay to talk about mental health and substance use to a certain point, but there is still a whole group of people who are very poor, very marginalized, and who are experiencing significant barriers to accessing not just the usual stuff, employment and education, but the very entitlements of citizenship, right? That it's not okay to talk about what's going on with them.
So, in your time with Sound Times, is there any success that stands out for you?
Success on behalf of Sound Times, or success, like...
For one of the clients.
I've been at Sound Times for 20-some-odd years, right? So, and there are, at this moment, over 2,000 people using these services. So you can imagine that, like, hundreds and hundreds of people have gone through Sound Times. So for me, I really resist those triumphalist narratives of, here's a person whose life was horrible and now they're doing this, right? Like, I really resist those kinds of narratives when it comes to any kind of disability, when we talk about disability, because for me, the successes are seeing people come into their own and understanding that they don't have to be victimized by a system that really does not have their best interests at heart. And they don't have to be cast off and discarded, you know, by communities that, you know, vilify them or are terrified of them or maybe not that overtly discriminate against them, but communities within which people would rather they be invisible, right? For me, the success is someone coming in, no matter how much of a mess things look like, you know, to the casual observer on the outside, but somebody sitting down in the chair and realizing, yeah, you know, I can be in the driver's seat of this. I can have some control here, and I have a right to be here, and I'm going to try and take things in hand and assert my autonomy and my independence and my right to be here. To me, that's the best success. Like, I know, I mean, I can tell you stories of people, oh, they've gone back to university and they've done this and they've done that. And that's all wonderful. But none of that happens unless that step is taken, right? And for me, whenever I see that, that's like a rush. That's better than doing a line of cocaine. That's a rush when you see that, you know, that turnover in somebody, you know, where they finally understand they've got it in hand and they can do. They have a right to be here. You know, and they at least have a right to try, you know. That's the success.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay in the line for a sec, that'd be great. Sound Times being run completely by those who have suffered through addictions or mental health issues speaks very well to the disabilities credo. Nothing about us without us. For the fact is, our understanding as a people of these matters that sometimes society is a little reluctant or a little uncomfortable to talk about, our understanding is not going to grow if we simply assume that we know what's best for these people. Without talking to them, sharing their story, being a part of their journey. For the fact is, it does provide a base of understanding, a frame of reference. For a person with a disability, you can't just say to them, I understand how you feel,
with no common ground. You can't just assume what it's going to feel like to go through an addiction or a mental health problem. Fact is, society has this unfortunate tendency, I've noticed, to shy away from these matters, to just not talk about them, because they're uncomfortable. Yes, talking about some aspects of mental health problems has come into more of the light, but you can't talk about some and not others. It's all part and parcel of what affects a person. You can't say, oh, I'm comfortable talking about this, let's deal with it, let's provide you with support. But this mental health problem, I'm just not as comfortable with it. You simply can't do that. The fact is, to an onlooker, it may be simply a comfort thing. I like to look upon this, I don't like to look upon that. But for the person affected, it's getting out of bed in the morning, going to work each day, spending time with friends, family, and loved ones. And honestly, we have no right as a society to deny them this. Treatment programs and facilities are vital to those affected with addiction and mental health. Giving them an anchor, something to hold on to. People who aren't going to judge and say, it's your mess, you clean it up. People who have been there, be seen as a sign of hope. Because these good people have exactly the right attitude, they can't just say, I got out of the situation, ain't I great? That's good for me. But what about those who aren't so fortunate, who don't yet realize they have the courage and the stamina to take the step that I have? Fact is, everyone, with a disability or without, has a greater strength than they realize. But sometimes it really is a matter of another person taking the time, taking the care to say, I recognize this in you. I know you will achieve. The world might turn away, but I cannot. It's people like that who have the greatest impact in anyone's life. It's not those who tear you down that make life what it is. It's those who build us up and remind us that out of every dark situation, there's a way out. There's always potential to turn things around, to grow from an experience, to become something greater. And honestly, we as a people need to look at those with mental health problems and addictions not as a curse or an obligation to be fulfilled. We need to look at them for the people they are. People who are brave enough, strong enough to face these issues day by day and to do what might be the most difficult thing of all for any of us, simply to live, to try to find our way in this world. It's what we're all trying to do, with a disability or without. We're simply trying to understand how we fit into the tapestry of life. And those affected with addictions and mental health issues, they don't need people complicating that journey. They don't need someone telling them, you'll never amount to anything, or you made a mistake, so you're just done. They don't need it. They need a helping hand. They need someone to say, you have the courage to do this. I'm going to support you. I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter that you might be affected by these things, but I'm going to say I recognize it simply as one part of who you are. It is not all that you are, and not all you're destined to be. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.